Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 19. We'll be reading the whole chapter. In 1 Samuel 19. And this is the word of the Lord. Now Saul told Jonathan his son and all his servants to put David to death. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, "Saul, my father, is seeking to put you to death. Now therefore, please be on guard in the morning and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. If I find out nothing or find out anything, then I will tell you." And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Do not let the king sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you. For he took his life in his hand and struck the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without a cause?" Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul vowed, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death." And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these words. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as formerly. When there was war again, David went out and fought with the Philistines and defeated them with great slaughter, so that they fled before him. Now there was an evil spirit from the Lord on Saul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing the harp with his hand. Saul tried to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence so that he stuck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Then Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him in order to put him to death in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be put to death." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went out and fled and escaped. Michal took the household idol and laid it on the bed, and put a quilt of goat's hair at its head and covered it with clothes. When Saul sent messengers to David to take David, she said, "He is sick." And Saul sent messengers to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me on his bed, that I may put him to death." When the messengers entered, behold, the household idol was on the bed with the quilt of goat's hair at its head. So Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me like this and let my enemy go so that he has escaped?" And Michal said to Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I put you to death?'" Now David fled and escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed in Naioth. It was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is in Naioth in Ramah." Then Saul sent messengers to take David, but when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying with Samuel standing and presiding over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. When it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. So Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also prophesied. Then he himself went to Ramah and came as far as the large well that is in Seku. And he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" And someone said, "Behold, they are in Naioth in Ramah." He proceeded there to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also. So that when he went along prophesying continually till he came to Naioth in Ramah. He also stripped off his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore they say, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" That is the word of the Lord to us this evening. Chapter 19 is an account of the four times Saul attempts to kill David. Those aren't all the times that Saul attempts to do it, but here's four in succession, it seems like. The first is in verse 1. After telling David about Saul's intention, Jonathan teaches us something about putting a fire out. He goes to Saul, his father, and talks with him. There's a problem between two people. He goes and talks to Saul. Look at all he has done for you. He's killed that Philistine, and look what all has happened since then. And by verse 6, Saul is back to not wanting to kill David. It should be amazing to us how many dilemmas could be resolved if we simply face them and talk through them. Verse 7, we see the second account of Saul trying to put David to death. There was more war. We see David's success and more of Saul's madness. The evil spirit from Yahweh was plaguing him. David plays music for Saul as usual, which he was doing as a servant to Saul. But Saul took his spear and threw it at David, missing and hitting the wall. And David fled and escaped. And this comes in the context of verse 8. David slaughters the Philistines and they flee. Then Saul tries and attempts to slaughter David and he flees. And so David is being treated like a Philistine. And then the third episode of Saul's madness, he sent messengers to David's house to watch him. And then in the morning, they were to put him to death. Michal was there, very observant, and notices them. And she tells him that he must leave right away to survive. And David escapes out of the window, down through the window, in the midst of Michal's deception to her father and a surprising idol in the home. Did David know about this? We don't know. But Michal is used to give David more time to escape. The fourth episode of Saul attempting to put David to death, David has fled to where Samuel is. And Saul's messengers are after him, but they see a company of the prophets, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul's messengers, and they prophesied. And Saul sent another group. The same thing happened. He sent a third group, and the same thing happened to them. They prophesied. And so Saul goes himself, taking matters into his own hands, and the same thing happens to him. And we actually see the shame that is upon him, for he's naked at the end of the chapter. And so four episodes of Saul trying and not succeeding to put David to death, and yet he's the king. He's very powerful. He's the king of Israel. And yet he still cannot put David to death. And he is not more powerful than David's God. And so the message of chapter 19 should be clear to us. It's that Yahweh repeatedly protects His servants. If His servant still has work to do and service to do on this earth, then He will keep them alive and He'll protect them. It's the same for us. So we thought of last week, we heard that most definitely and always He will protect His people's souls. Always. But He also numbers our days. And if your days are to be used in service to Him to a certain amount, and then when all your service is done and when you're serving Him is done, then your days are numbered and you will die. But as long as you are supposed to be here, the Lord will protect your body. But remember, He will always protect your soul, Christian. In these four episodes, we see God protecting David through Jonathan and Michal, but then he goes to Samuel. And we expect Samuel also to protect him, but he does not. Samuel can do nothing. It is the power of the Spirit of God that keeps David safe. And so sometimes the Lord uses human instruments to bring about protection. Oftentimes that is the civil magistrate for us, police. But sometimes he bypasses that in order to make clear that salvation is from the Lord and not from men. And we see that David is still standing at the end of the chapter. There is some relief. Oftentimes in trials, we're looking for success to show God's clear protection. It's oftentimes that we don't actually have success, but we're still standing. And the fact that we're still standing is showing that God has protected us. And so we should be confident in our God that He will protect us. He'll keep our souls. And when our days are numbered, until our days are numbered, He will protect our bodies as well. So much to keep in confidence with God in here. He is our protector. Well, let's pray to Him now. Father, we come to You, the Lord who is our protector. a God who protects our souls, who keeps our souls from this day forth and forevermore, and the God who protects our bodies as long as we are to be here on this earth. There are many who desire, we'll perhaps hear about some who do not think this is part of God's will, but in that General Assembly report after worship, but here we know that we are to have a desire to fulfill your decree, to fulfill your plan, and that you would be glorified in all that you do. And part of your plan is that those who are in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. They will suffer. And that might mean in our bodies, even to the point of death. And yet, we know that you will be our protector in our souls. And you'll be our protector in our bodies as long as we are to be here. And there are some bodies which are failing. Even now, all of our bodies are one step closer to death every day. And yet, there are some whose bodies are struggling. And so we do pray for them. We do pray for Mr. Ward, and we pray for Bob and Marie, and Sharon, who has those chronic illnesses. We even pray for Kara, who's having infections with her ears and problems with that continual ear problem. Lord, we pray that you would heal all of us, that you would perfect us, that we'll be ready to join with the angels in heaven for all eternity, as we're in some sense practicing now, and we're entering into that worship now. We pray that you would make us perfect, that when we enter in, we'll be there spotless, blameless before the throne, that you would make us fit to worship you. There would be no more sin and no more pain, no more sorrow over our souls and over our bodies. But Lord, we rejoice that you are the protector. We thank you that you are the king that David points to, you and Jesus, the king who will reign forever, and you do reign now. And part of that being our king is that you protect us. And so again, we call upon you to do so because you've promised that you will do it. And so we pray your promises that you will protect us and be our protector, our strong fortress, and watch over us even now as we continue in our worship, that you would be protecting our souls, even enforcing your word into our souls, that we would be protected from the evil one. As we think about that spiritual darkness, forces of evil that we are up against in this life, and that armor of God that we will look at in just a few minutes. Lord, protect us in Christ, we pray in his name. Amen.